No one ever got fired for buying IBM. That was a saying to justify buying PCs from IBM in the late 1980s. Great, we're already starting off back in my day. The same could be said for Xerox or the Big Eight accounting firms, which are now the Big Four. We really need to come out of the 20th century. I'm dating myself bigly. What does this have to do with negotiating office and warehouse leases? I'm your host, Jan Gibbons.
And I'm Bob Gibbons.
The answer is today's episode of the Confessions of a Recovering Landlord podcast. Like I said in the opener, back in the 80s, the joke was an employee would never get fired if they hired one of the bigs to do internal work, like hiring Xerox for your copier needs or buying IBM computers or hiring one of the Big Eight accounting firms. But do you think that still rings true today?
What's funny about that is that IBM doesn't even make computers anymore, and there aren't eight giant accounting firms anymore either. But yes, I absolutely do think that this is still true. I mean, people that work for large corporations who make decisions about what consultant to hire or product to buy for sure thinks about the perceived risk of hiring or buying the wrong one. I mean, if it goes bad for some reason, can they be criticized for using the wrong one? What's the safe decision?
Okay, but are you seeing this in commercial real estate?
For sure. I mean, I know a guy who quit using the independent real estate advisor for his company when it grew bigger than what he thought that little guy could handle.
And was he right?
For sure, no. Emphatically, no. And I talked to him about this very specifically. I know the company he quit using, and I also know the one that he hired. And I've done a lot of business with both of them. And he thought the biggie could provide better information on comparables, and he thought that the landlord would give them a better deal because they were using the big guy, right? But both assumptions were false. And I'm totally convinced he would have been better off, he would have been in better hands with the boutique firm. And I felt this way for a long time. Let me tell you why.
Probably couldn't stop you if I tried. Go for it.
I don't know why you'd want to. We wouldn't even have an episode this week if you did. Anyway, all the big shops have excellent commercial real estate professionals, and we do business with a lot of them. But there are a few reasons why I think a boutique firm is a better way to go.
Okay, item number one.
Numero uno, boutiques aren't full service. And that may sound weird at the beginning because everybody wants full service, right? Well,
no, I actually know the answer.
Lots of people talk about how they're full service as if it's a good thing, but it's not. And why? It's mainly because of conflicts of interest. When I was an asset manager on the landlord side, we would list our buildings for sale. But somehow the details of all of our leases in that building, we call that a rent roll, would mysteriously end up in the hands of the tenant rep group of that same listing company in their other division, right? And when we were outsourcing our leasing to the asset services divisions of some of those companies, I was told that they would put a tenant rep on my account because tenant reps know deals coming down the pike long before everybody else, and I'd get a crack at those tenants long before landlords.
Wow, those are huge conflicts of interest.
For sure.
What's another reason?
Well, another reason is that the experience of the person handling the assignment is better with a boutique. So let's say a company with 25 locations in the U.S. hired one of the biggies. They're going to assign or be assigned an account manager to be their primary contact. That person works with all the agents in the various cities to try and get the deals done. But the problem is that those individuals in those individual cities are often junior agents who aren't as experienced. And so they're kind of cobbling together this team to make it work. Well, in a boutique shop, the person sort of quarterbacking the deal is probably going to be the same person that sold the deal to you, that convinced you to hire them. He or she's going to be the quarterback managing all of this. They're going to partner with, if needed, highly experienced agents in each individual local market. So now you have a really highly experienced and qualified quarterback and you have highly experienced and qualified people in each individual city. And that's going to end up making a better transaction and overall a better assignment long term. And they aren't required, the boutiques aren't required to use people within a specific company like the bigs are. You know, the bigs are going to be, hey, you got to use our person or one of our mm-hmm. people in Tucson and wherever. Whereas we can just say, hey, who's the best in that city for this particular client?
That really rings true for me. Knowing someone is in charge of my account who is highly experienced and that the buck stops with them, regardless mm-hmm. of what the name is on the business card, just gives me a lot greater confidence than just having a big company name stamped on it.
I agree. I mean, there's a saying called one throat to choke.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, in my prior life working with landlords, we would hire investment sales brokers at some of the big firms to sell our properties for us. And our listing agreements were specific to the individual and actually said that if that individual moved to another company, they took our listing with them.
Why would you do that?
Well, because we were hiring the individual and that person's experience and that person's relationships, not the company. And that's what was going to get our building sold at the best price.
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, most independent brokers I know who once worked for one of the biggies, most of the independents that I know used to work for one of the biggies, and I often have asked them if they missed it, and they always say, no, I don't miss it. So then I ask another question, which is there anything that the big companies do for their clients that an independent can't do? And every single one of them has said no. So these people have independent experience, and they also have big company experience, and they're choosing to stay independent. And that really tells me something. You know, I've mentioned this before on the podcast that after my 9 years on my own as a independent corporate real estate advisor, I joined a regional firm because I also had that question and wondered what I might be missing that I should be doing for clients that I wasn't. And I quickly learned that the answer was nothing.
Not a zip, zilch.
Yep.
Okay, so the moral to the story is to use an independent broker boutique company.
Darn tootin'.
And just offhand, could you recommend one?
you know, one other thing I failed to mention back when we were talking about, you know, if you go with one of the biggies versus an independent, one of the big problems is that when you're with one of the biggies, the commission gets split so many different ways that at the end of the day, the people actually doing the work aren't making much money, and therefore they're not paying attention as well. They're not giving the priority to it. I actually had a situation where I had a client. My client sold his company to a much bigger company, and therefore I lost that client. So this was a deal where the commission would have been, say, $100,000, and it came back around to me a year and a half later, because they went through one of the biggies and then changed again to another biggie. But by that time, my friend who had been with that company long enough at that point, had some clout, was able to sort of say, hey, come on, Bob and I had this deal done a year and a half ago before you guys started hiring all these biggies. I want him back on the account. So I got back on the account. Well, that meant that I was kind of in the shoes, so to speak, of the what would have been one of the local people had they been required to use one of the local people with the biggie company. Well, my take home at the end of the day was 27% of what it would have been had I done the deal on my own from the beginning.
I remember.
So, yeah, I bet you do. But I mean, again, that just goes to the point of who do you want representing you? Somebody who's fully incentivized to do the best deal possible, or somebody who's going to make a tiny fraction of what they would have otherwise made?
Well, and too many cooks in the kitchen, something falls through the cracks. When you have one point of contact, even just say you have one broker on the account, that broker has several people helping him, but he is the main person. When you have a team, it all gets parceled out, and there's not a quarterback. And I think that's where things fall through the cracks. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Confessions of a Recovering Landlord podcast. At Riata Commercial Realty, we exclusively serve companies that lease or purchase office and warehouse space. We never represent landlords. Find us at texastenantrep.com or give us a call at 972 972- 877-0028.
Thank you so much. We'd love to hear from you. See you next week.
Bye.